Really, what are friends for? Friends are for giving you some good ASMR. I'm Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Pallavi's best friend, Gabrielle Ruiz. Pallavi, for the listeners who are not on our Patreon, watching you eat, what are you eating?
I'm just really proud of this bowl of noodles that I made in literally 7.5 minutes because I am that good.
I can make a salad in 7.5 minutes.
That's the extent of your cooking. I'm very proud of you.
That's Deep Cut, season 2. Welcome back to WAF, everybody. We are in season 6. I actually did try to cook some chicken and rice, and it didn't go well. Oh. And I thought of you greatly.
Oh, you thought of me because it didn't go well?
Yeah,
because
you're like, I was like, what can I cook? And you're like, a salad? And I was like, you're right.
I would let you make me a salad any day, though.
I'm very good at it.
Yes, you are.
But not, what is it, udon noodles? What is it? What kind of noodles?
You know what? It's blaspheme. I used an Italian spaghetti to make Asian-inspired noodles.
You know, difficult conversations with friends is the topic of today.
Yes, it is.
And we are so excited about our guests. But before that, let's share our flex.
Yeah.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
What's your flex? You go first.
My parents are in town.
I love that. I haven't seen them yet. I'm excited to wave to them.
Yeah,
from afar.
We're going to do a little drive-by. and it's just wonderful. We have a house that we can host them and have them here. It's a big milestone for Philip and me in our big town careers where we always decide to live in the most expensive towns of the United States. So we actually have more than a one bedroom somewhere, and it's nice. The fucked up part is I sprained my ankle.
I know. I was very worried about you last week when that happened.
You saw me in my last hours before my sprained ankle.
And then like an hour later, you're like, I'm on my way to the hospital. I was like, what happened?
But it kind of loops back into my flex is that my parents are here.
Free childcare, baby.
Listen, what are parents for? The spinoff. Pallavi, go ahead.
Well, speaking of parental wins, that is my flex, is that my daughter, it's not a secret that she's very much her, like, she's a daddy's girl. Like, my mom calls her, in Telugu, we call it Baba Bhaktiralu, meaning, like, devoted to dad. Like, she's a devotee of her father. And so I hit a milestone in my parenting life yesterday when she told her dad, she said, no, I want mama to play with me in my room. I don't want Baba.
Oh, my God. Congrats.
I'm such a winner.
You're like, that's all I need. I just need to win. That's how I roll around this house, is winning.
Exactly. And it canceled out the fucked, which is like we all went on vacation this weekend because we never do that. And then, of course, when we do, we all get sick.
So, well, your body finally chillaxed.
I know. So, I mean, it's not like the worst thing. It's not COVID. It's like a traditional vintage cold. You know what I mean?
I know. Old school. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess this still happens.
Yeah, but we're okay. And, you know, I think what's getting me through is that she wants to play with me now. And that's the medicine I need.
And your bowl of 7-minute noodles.
Exactly. All right. I want to get to the guests at hand because we all go way back, but this is the first time we're having them on the show. So first up, we have producer and casting director and my real life sister, Kirtana Sastry.
Did you say we go way back? Like womb? Like to the womb?
Well, okay. And don't grill me. Don't grill me yet. We just started, okay?
It's not like you guys were like twins in the womb, K-Star. I would say, you know, passed down clothing.
Yes. And your co-host of The Chat Room, reality dating show enthusiast, protective daughter, you're lucky to be her boyfriend, badass TV executive, Nikki Menon.
Hi.
Hi. You get an A+ for your intro, Kirtana. Try harder.
I didn't know I was supposed to be clever.
Well, I think the fact that you came on and the first thing you said was, you know, trying to bust my balls is, you know, just put that into your work. Put that into your writing.
Sorry, are we going to just gloss over the fact that Pallavi called a cold vintage? Because that was comedic genius.
She is a genius. It's true. She loves praise. Keep doing it. This is like one of her friend love languages. Keep doing it.
Well, I don't know if you know this. I have known these ladies. Clearly, I've known my sister a very long time. But like that is something that I have to share more often because over the years I've gotten better at sharing more of myself. And I realized in the last like 5-6 years that my love language is words of affirmation. So,
Pallavi, you're a genius.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So next
time. And you're pretty.
Thank you so much. I love you.
You're so brave for sharing your love language with me.
Okay, now I can just sit here and eat my noodles. You guys want to do the show for the rest of the hour?
Oh my gosh, we're so happy to have you guys on. How long have you all been friends? And also, how long have you been co-hosts of the chat room?
Like 2018. So 4 years.
5 years. Wow, that math was really hard for me to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been about 4 years, and we're finishing up our third season of the podcast. So, and we started that in 2020.
Yeah, and I think I made the first move.
Is that right? That seems right.
I think that's right, because I didn't know you lived here, and I was like trying to kiss your ass a little bit because I was trying to get into the brown girl, you know, community, and I reached out to Kirtan, and then we got brunch at Grub. And then I gave her number to the waiter with
oh, that's right.
I think I remember the story. Did anything
that was our first meal together, because we had gotten coffee once before, and like very briefly, and before that we had had a phone call during like our lunch hours, but the first time we actually had like had a meal together when we were like, oh, we could probably be friends, and then at the like.
He was clearly into her. Like, he just,
we put in our drink orders. Yeah, we put in our drink orders, and she was like, listen, I know we don't know each other very long, but he really likes you. And I was like, all right. And thus began the routine.
Well, listen, we recently just had Aparna from Indian Matchmaking on the show, and we are big believers in matchmaking, no matter what it is, with friends, with significant others. It all works.
There you go. I'm not into it. I'm not into it.
Well, anyway, what we want to do, we do a segment on the show, Gabrielle, if you want to explain the flex.
Yes, we would love for you all to maybe not even humble brag, but just like brag, bitches. Like, what is up in life right now that we can lift you up as your friends and share with the class?
Okay, so I got this, like, I have like really bad gut health. And I feel like I've tried everything to fix it and feel better about it. And then I finally got this like mix that's like, I've been drinking it every day. And it's like this veggie mix. And my gut feels great today. And honestly, yeah. I'm feeling really good about it.
Play. Feel really good, bitch.
I was drinking it in front of my dad. And he was like, this is why we came to this country, for her to drink this green guck.
It'll get things out. That's for sure. It'll get it out. No, yeah, that's a huge flex. That's a big deal, because I know that that's something that you and I have talked about, where you're like,
he's like, you want gut health? Go eat some sambar. Like, that'll get you going. Like, why are you paying money?
Yeah. But listen, like, you just got to be like, dad, any MD will tell you that great gut health and a good poop in the morning is really all you need to take on the day.
No, but like, legit, I mean, I just like, we have audio proof of her talking about like kombucha on our podcast, because she was like, I have gut health issues. I'm trying kombucha today. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, that's a big deal. That's exciting.
Yeah. How about you, Kirtana?
Oh, you know what? I told Nikki this about a month ago or so. I feel like my flex right now is that I feel like I've been getting a lot more comfortable since our trip to New York, Akka, about like the clothes I wear. Like, I feel like I'm feeling much more comfortable in my wardrobe, and like in like the style that I feel like I'm adopting and evolving into now. So I I went out with Nikki and our dear friends Sarah Rastogi and Anch Kaneja a couple weeks ago, and I was like feeling my dress that I was wearing. I felt good.
She looked hot. She was looking good. She's looking good.
All four of us know like I have struggled with like, you know, insecurities about that kind of stuff. So I'm feeling a lot more confident about that part of it for sure. So I feel like that's my flex.
Girl, I flex for you, friend. That's fierce.
Thank you.
I bet your voice was different then too, right? Because you were feeling yourself. Did you have a different voice?
Yeah. I went, I really went into the Kathleen Turner. I was like, hey.
And next time, Kirtana, when I see you, I'll be like, damn, girl.
I mean, next time I see you might just be when you randomly come over and I'll be wearing sweatpants.
Exactly. So. Damn, girl. You're going to flex.
Yeah. But we are also very proud of you for how hard you all have worked on the chat room. You're on your what season? It's recently dropped, right?
Yeah, we're wrapping up our third season in a couple weeks.
Fantastic. Tell the listeners a little bit about that show, and then we'll get into our conversation at hand.
It started with the fact that Kirsten and I both have jobs in Hollywood that people don't know generally exists because, you know, when you're watching the Emmys and the Oscars and all of these things, it's just not a very outward facing job. And it's not a job that requires you to have like a social media presence or anything like that. And we kind of realized that there might be, you know, other people, other South Asians like us who might want to pursue careers that aren't so, you know, quote unquote conventional in the entertainment industry, but not know where to begin, but also not know what success quote unquote looks like or what a path would look like. And so we started this podcast to showcase South Asians on and off the screen and their careers. And we're trying to get as granular as we can. You know, like we had a TV editor on, but then we also had an editor turned director on. So trying to showcase as many different paths into doing different careers as possible. I mean, we did like a managing film festivals episode with the Product of Culture Girls. And I had a friend from back home who is very passionate about films, but, you know, didn't really feel conventionally creative and didn't know how to enter the industry. And she was like, wow, like I think I'm going to volunteer at a film festival because that seems like a way to get my, you know, toes wet. And I was like, yes, like that's why we're doing this, is to just show the diversity and then the manpower and woman power it takes to make something come to life. Like it's not just these three people who are, you know, getting nominated for awards that you see on TV.
Yeah. It's like, if you see it, you can be it.
100%. Thing. There's like a real comfort in community. And I think we also are for the first time in a while, the South Asian community is really coming together and just that competition, that wall's being broken down. And so to just show, even if you don't relate to the person we're interviewing, to see that like, Kirsten and I are friends with 90% of the people we interview and there's banter and there are jokes and like, we all hang out. Like we're just trying to show that we are here and we're coming together and we want to make people feel more welcomed to join us.
Hi, I'm Kirtana.
And I'm Nikki.
We're the co-hosts of the podcast, The Chat Room.
And you're listening to What Are Friends For?
The pitch that you guys really wanted to dive deep with on WAF when it comes to you all as the chat room, but also as friends, is difficult conversations with amigos. I'm curious, is this topic today like familiar to you guys? Does it hit home in a certain way?
No, I don't think Kirsten and I have ever had a difficult conversation in our entire
this
lives.
This is the most difficult conversation we've ever had.
Well, to be fair, out of respect and love for the both of you, I did text you ahead of time and I said, hey, is it okay that we talk about this? And so, because it was very difficult for even the people that love both of you to experience as well. So, you know, anyway, I want you guys to be able to sum it up in your own words instead of me retelling your story. So.
Well, I mean, spoiler alert, you guys made it to the other side, obviously. You're still friends. You're here. We'll start with this question then. Kirtana, how do you feel about difficult conversations? Has stigma to it? Has fear to it? Is it fear-based? Like, how do you feel about difficult conversations when it comes specifically to your friends? Do you avoid it? Do you dive in? Do you hate them? Like, where are you in that land?
Yeah, I don't love them. I mean, there's still things that I don't know that I've necessarily shared the way I would like to with some of my friends. So it's definitely something I know I need to work on because it's important. But that being said, like if someone is going to come to me, like that I care about and confront me with something that like a feeling of theirs that is about me or related to me, I don't want to shy away from that conversation. And I don't want to invalidate those feelings. So I try as much as I can to absolutely accept that and accept whatever responsibility I played in that. But that's also been like that's definitely been a growing thing for me. all of you can speak to this a little bit too. Like, we have in the past, in our family at least, there's been definitely a feeling of like, I'm kind of the hothead in the family. That's kind of how, like, when I was younger, I was very much like the one who was thought of as like more angry, or I flew off the handle a little faster than everybody else, or, you know, I don't have a filter. And so I would, when I would get upset, I would say things and I wouldn't really care, or not necessarily not care in a malicious way, but just, I wouldn't consider or think about the feelings of the people I was talking about, because I would just get pissed and I would just say whatever I needed to say and get it out. I think that's changed a lot. But I do think that I still fight that perception a little bit. And so sometimes when I come into conversations, I feel a lot more passive because of it. So that's now, like, I've swung the other way a little bit. So now I'm trying to swing back to, like, find a balance.
And for you, Nikki, I think, like, you know, in terms of, you know, you, if you don't mind me saying it, you basically had like a falling out, the both of you. And it started with you having to confront Kirtana, right? So, like, what's your take on that? You know, because confronting somebody is very difficult. So did you find that difficult, or were you in a place where it just was so severe or dire in your opinion that you just needed to make it happen?
Yeah, I think for me, it's crazy. Outside of the pandemic, I am pretty good with confrontation. I prefer it. If I have an issue, I'm typically the person to bring it up in real time, and it's pretty logical. And, like, you know, I'm very much, let's sit down and talk about it. It's interesting though, and I'm curious how Kirtana feels about it too, but the pandemic really fucked me up. Like, I think I became, there's a quote in Revenge of the Sith that Yoda says called, and he says, a fear of loss is a path to the dark side. And I think that really embodied my pandemic psychosis, because I was so fearful to lose everything around me, because we had such a finite number of people we were allowed to be around. We had such a finite number of places we were allowed to go, finite amount of thoughts you were really allowed to have, because you didn't want to get too crazy within them. So I got a little crazy, like thinking about losing things. And because of that, I think I let people, who I should not have, and I've admitted this to Kirtana many times, who I have not, should not have let, you know, influence me, because it's kind of me trying to get ahead of the problem. And because of that, when you're operating on that fear of loss, sometimes you're not thinking clearly and you're not able to look at the other person's side. And when it came to the falling out that Kirtana and I had, you know, looking back on it, I didn't really even give her the opportunity to respond. And in a weird way, because she was also struggling with being a little bit more passive in conversations with, I do have to commend, like, Kirtana and I have had a lot of difficult conversations since, and we've both evolved in how we have these conversations with each other, which I'm really proud about. But at the time, I feel like I came on so aggressive and super black and white, rather than seeing the shades of gray in between, or rather than allowing her to color the shades of gray in between. Because I was operating on that fear of loss. It's like, I need to get ahead of it. Like, you know, I think she did this, and so she must have, like, that's it, done. And that was not healthy. And it took a while, and it took a while. And honestly, I think it took space for me to realize then, once I had suffered that loss of Kirtana, thinking that that's the loss I needed to have. And so I got ahead of it. Once she was gone, I fucking missed her. Like, I was like, could someone like that, who I missed so much, who felt so important in my life, could she have actually done that thing to me? Like, that just doesn't, now it's not making sense. Like, it's not making sense why I cut her off. So for me during the pandemic, I think I just was operating on that fear, and I didn't, it's so weird to say, but I wanted to be the reason. No, I don't even know how to say it. Like, it's like, you want to cut something off before they cut it off, or you want to cut something off before something else cuts it off, you know? So I felt like I was just getting ahead of
it's protective mechanism.
Yeah,
sure.
Being protective, because you just, especially in the pandemic, we just had this small, you know, group, and it was very like Lord of the Flies, like pick a side, like, you don't know, like who are you interacting with every day? And so,
so many beautiful statements in that. The survival to just fit within your own sanity, it comes with a lot of grace. I think everybody knows, as well as, you know, I had a difficult conversation with a friend recently, and I feel like it's both just catching up to where we are now past the pandemic. You know, like, where are we now? We have grown, we have changed, and we have different needs as each other's friends, and the difficult conversation hasn't completed itself. And I just appreciate that you mentioned you going into a dark place and like having to feel like you had to survive. I get that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, that you said you needed time and space. And honestly, sometimes like when you're in the thick of it, it's actually not possible to think rationally of like how you're going to work something out. Right. So it's like, in a way, the survival is like you cut it off so that you could allow yourself the time and space. And then when you have that, you can't help but like think about it with new perspective. And you're just like, oh, wait a second. None of this makes sense. You know?
No, 100%. Yeah. And I actually think the more conversation that we had in that falling out was not the actual falling out. It was the trying to mend what had happened. And that conversation, I mean, to be honest, I think I remember that and feel more viscerally about that conversation than I do the actual falling out. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you have a fight with a significant other and they just keep fighting, it's like, why are we even fighting? I don't even remember. That it kind of got to that point where I was like, I don't even remember why we're fighting. But I remember her like coming over and we sat on the couch and it was so awkward. And it's like, you feel like you're looking at a stranger, but also like, you know them so well. And it took also many conversations. I think it took us a minute to come back together, but it was the difficult conversation of me admitting my faults in handling the situation and her admitting, you know, what the part that she played, that admitting to the other person that you care about so much and making that commitment to like, okay, we're going to work on this. And then also realize that it's not going to happen overnight. I think that's also a very difficult thing for me to comprehend. Cause I'm very like, okay, we got it. Let's go. We got it. Let's go. And that's just not how that's not how friendships should be. Like we had to rebuild a foundation essentially that had been broken. And so that was the most difficult conversation for me, was to admit all of those mistakes and then to also put myself out there again, because I didn't know if Kirsten and I was going to want that back. Like, you know, cause we had just gone through some shit. So she very well could have been like, well, you know, fuck you. Like, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Kirtana, how was your process in that, like in the same timeline? Were you waiting for Nikki to approach? Were you just giving it time? Were you mad?
I wasn't mad because, to be honest, I didn't know what was going on.
Yes, the confusion, like, is a good sign.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Like for a really long time, and even when we had our initial conversation where she had been like, you did this thing, I still kind of didn't know what was happening because I didn't know, like, I even, and Nikki, correct me if I'm wrong, but I even remember like admitting that like I had played a part, but I didn't know what part I played. Mm-hmm. So I don't even feel like my like taking responsibility in that first conversation made an impact in any way, shape or form, because one, I didn't know what was going on, and two, it wasn't the time for her to hear it. So, So both of those things combined, I don't think it mattered. You know what I mean? And so it was one of those things of like, I have no idea what I'm apologizing for, but I know that something upset her. So I want to apologize, but it just wasn't the right time to do that or say that or hear that, because I didn't have context and she didn't want to hear it at the time, which was understandable. So Nikki and I have talked about this. I think that after that first conversation, and then we had another one after that, because we were also trying to figure out at the time if like we could even do the podcast together anymore when we were talking about having space. So we had had, you know, like two other conversations that were also just as tough as that first one, where she was like, you know, I've been told this is what happened and this is what you did kind of thing. I don't think at any point I was actually mad. I think at first I was confused, and then I was really, sad. And then and this is the part, like Nikki and I have talked about this. Like I definitely was upset because I felt like there were certain things that were said in the context of anger that don't actually translate the level or the like severity to which she like maybe meant it in anger. But when you hear that after not realizing that there's a problem, it hits a lot harder. And then, and so it, like, I definitely internalized a lot of that stuff. And so it wasn't anger for me. It was really just, I just felt so bad that I had, you know, potentially treated someone I loved and cared about so deeply in such a shitty way without, again, knowing kind of what was going on. So there was, so a lot of that became a jumble of confusion and sadness for me for a while.
Yeah. So if we were to clarify a little bit, so something, you know, so somebody told Nikki that you said something disparaging about Nikki. Is that what happened? Right. And then that was a misunderstanding. And so then in the heat of the moment, you say other things that you will, you probably are like, well, you also do this. And I've always thought this about you. And I've, yeah, of course that stuff comes out when you're mad. Right. Because like, then you realize, oh, wow, I'm not actually like in the perspective, because this has happened to me and Kirtana actually, because we're sisters, you know, where we're like, let things fester. And like, when the thing blows up, you're like, well, you also do this thing and you've always done this thing. And it's like all of the stuff that you realize later on, you're like, why don't I talk to her about this stuff when it happens in the moment instead of letting it fester?
How long has the recovery process been, like with the amount of talking since you guys made up? Like, how has that been, a year now with the new chapter growth of your friendship?
It was pretty quick. It was like a few months, I thought.
when we had the initial argument, and then we had a couple other like conversations, arguments or whatever. Argument's not even really the right word. There was not really arguing. It was just kind of like this thing happened. We talked about it, and then we had distance. We were trying to figure out a way to still work together professionally, but we knew we needed distance. So we like pushed that a bit as well. And then I think we didn't speak for 2.5 months, right, Nikki? Something like that.
While it was happening, in the thick of it, we didn't speak for 2.5 months. Yeah. And that's when I started to get a sense of clarity of like, I don't think this person actually did this to me. And then we talked about it. And honestly, like by the end of the summer, I feel like, but that's the thing, right? Like when you're such good friends with somebody and you give the friendship, absence does make the heart grow fonder. Like I missed her. And then trying to have her back, like it was hard to not just go back. Like we fell back into our ways like very easily, which then to me was like, that's a sign that this person, you know, and ever since then I'm like, you know, it must be natural. It must be natural for friends to take space and maybe do individual growth and then come back together. And honestly, I think our friendship has become stronger from it. And I think now the way we talk about conflict between the two of us, I just feel like we're better about it. Like we don't say things in the heat of the moment, and we're very logical, and like we address things in real time. That I think that's a big thing. We don't let things fester anymore. And then we move forward, because it's like, if you really love someone, care about someone, you'll resolve the conflict. Like that's never going to be an end all be all. When you're protective of your own mind and heart, you think very black and white. And for me, it was like, okay, it's clean cut. Kirsten's out. She's moved on. She doesn't miss me. Like, and so if ever I had a pocket of missing her, I was like, stop, snap out of it. Like, she doesn't care. Like, she's moved on. So I think when you texted me and kind of gave me a peek into, you know, Kirsten's really sad. Like, what's going on? I definitely acknowledged that I still needed the space, but it was helpful to hear that she was also not feeling good about this. And it definitely, I think, expedited my thought process of, well, if she did say these things, then why does she miss me? Like, you know, like it was like, it's not making sense. What none of this is making sense now.
I appreciate you saying that. I really do. I appreciate you being so clear of how absence makes the friendship fonder. You know, it's also a necessary thing, because we think we need hangout time. We need to make time for our friends. We got to make those things happen and invite all these things and like all those things that count on our calendar. And I remember starting in college, I would put nothing on my schedule. And that was also good for my mental health. So why can't that be also good for your friendship?
And also, I will say on that same note, Gabrielle said, like, we talk a lot about romancing your friends. And Nikki, you are very good at that. I have to.
You're very romantic.
Yes, you are. You bring balloons to every birthday.
You sent your number.
Yes.
Wait, what about the balloons?
She
what
brings
does she do?
Balloons to Kirtana every birthday.
We have a birthday tradition. Balloons. Yeah.
It's a big, big bouquet. I was especially excited to do it this year, because this was like the first, like we were back, you know, like this is, you know, we're back to 100%. And so it was fun to like go and pick out her balloons and
Oh, and she compliments her on her clothes. Like, she's a very good boyfriend.
She's a very, Polly, she's a very
I'm
good
her
friend.
Only boyfriend, right?
No, she is. She's very good. She's very, very good at all of that stuff, for sure. For sure.
I don't think I did that enough before. And I think that's why, like, now, you know, you do it more. You just, it's, I hate that you sometimes have to lose someone to appreciate them more, but that is definitely what happened. And so I hope Kirthana feels appreciated, because I definitely do appreciate her and value her even more. And now when we do spend time together, like, it is quality over quantity. And, you know, we really, like, are there with each other. And I like when we hang out, honestly, because we're usually not going to parties, or we're usually just, like, eating food in her kitchen, or, like, watching a show, or, like, playing with Sheesh. Like, it's just, like, normal. It just feels like family. Like, I don't have to be doing some, like, crazy thing with her to feel like we're bonding or having fun.
Well, one piece of advice that you would like to give someone out there listening to this, either needing to have the difficult conversation, or has to have, you know, feels like they're about to have it. Do you have any advice?
Oh, so much. Where do I begin? The biggest one is to allow yourself space to kind of go through the, I don't know what the stages are, but, like, you know, like, grief has different stages, but when you're feeling something towards someone who you love very much, I think it's really important to never be impulsive and never be reactive to what you're feeling, because 9 times out of 10, those initial thoughts that are coming through your mind are like little devil living, sitting on your shoulder. And, like, you haven't even given the angel a chance to say something yet. So I really wish that when I was feeling so strongly, I had sat down, and whether that's make a list or, like, talk to somebody else, just talk it through, because 9 times out of 10, the problem that you've magnified now in your head so intensely, when you speak it out loud, it's kind of like, wait, so what's the problem? Like, Kirthana was confused, because she was like, what's the, I don't get it. Like, but it had become so heightened in my head. So taking and allowing yourself, and not, like, thinking that that's admitting defeat, or, like, not acting quick enough or anything like that. Because if it's someone you love, that's not a thing, acting quick enough or slow enough or whatever. Like, they're always going to be there. So just really understand why you need to have this difficult conversation and what you're trying to accomplish by having the difficult conversation. Like, don't put them in a corner. Like, think of what does a solution look like? What is coming to an agreement? Like, really just take the time to figure it out. Don't have a difficult conversation for the sake of thinking you need to get it out of the way and have a difficult conversation, because that's not going to lead to something that you both are going to, that's not going to lead to a positive outcome.
And I think you lose a little bit of a quality too sometimes if you do things impulsively. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're in a friendship, like, you should feel like an equal partner in that friendship. At least, like, that's how I feel, you know, like, you should feel like somebody's not, like, taking advantage of you or any of those kinds of things, right? You should feel like you have just as much a right to say something as the other person. Like, that's what I mean by equality. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like you lose that equality when you just say, here are all my feelings, and you just say it, like, impulsively, and, you know, screw you, this is how I feel, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, if you just kind of shotgun everything out, it's just like, I feel like you lose that equality a little bit, and then it becomes really hard to, like, come back from it, because especially if you don't have multiple conversations. If you have multiple conversations after the fact, it makes it easier. But, like, if you just, like, say a bunch of shit and then you walk away from the situation, like, it's gone. That balance, that equality is gone. And it becomes really, really hard to find your way back to it.
Well, thank you for both sharing your evolution as friends, because it's very important on WAF that we talk about friendships being just as much work with just as much grace and just as much conversation as we have with the other dynamics of our lives. So we wish you all the best with your new chapter in balloons.
Let's do our last segment.
Lightning WAF.
Nikki, first question. Do you believe that friendship is romantic?
100%.
Kirthana.
For sure.
What is your favorite on-screen friendship?
Oh my God. Okay. Monk and Sharona. Or Monk and Natalie. Or JD and Turk.
Kirthana.
Anne and Leslie and Sean and Gus from Psych.
In one word or hyphenate, what kind of friend are you?
I think, okay, can I pick two words? I'm protective friend. And also I'm a gift giver. Like, that's my love language. So I'll just, I want to buy you things and shower you with presents.
Kirtana?
I think I am a listener. Like, I don't necessarily give advice, but I do like to listen and goofy.
And what would you like to do better as a friend?
I would like to do better at not being rigid about my point of view. Like, even if you know, like, I think I'm good at listening to someone else having a different point of view than me. Or if I'm giving advice to someone, I just want to shake them and be like, why can't you see that this is bad or this is wrong? I think I could do better at like sitting back and being like, okay, so like, why do they not see what I'm seeing, and really try and understand where that person is coming from? Because everyone just maps their experiences differently. And you, if you care about someone and love someone, you'll take the time to like study their map and see why they're feeling that way.
Love that. Kirtana?
I'm still working on that balance of like trying to not be too impulsive or too passive. That's definitely something I'm still working on. I think within that, sometimes I still need to work on like standing up for myself too.
And lastly, Nikki, what are friends for?
Oh, friends are there to love on you. Sometimes you just want like a hug, or like you just want to, you know, they're just there to comfort you. It's like a blanket.
Kirtana, what are friends for?
Friends are for love and support and some kicks to the ass sometimes. And a really fucking good time sometimes.
And that's a wrap on WAF for this episode. Everyone, go check out the chat room. Thanks, guys. We adore you.
Thank you.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sara Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.